This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What if the time for repentance is not Sunday, but right now? What if the grace we assume will always be there is being offered for a season, but not forever? Lent is a season for returning to God, of examining our lives, of facing the reality that we do not have unlimited time to make things right. But so often we treat repentance like a task to get around to later. We assume there will always be time to change, time to grow, time to finally bear the fruit that God desires. Jesus' words in today's gospel challenge that assumption. Repent now while you can. Turn back to God before it's too late. And my theme for Lent, build a Lent that becomes a life. This is the first Sunday I'm preaching during Lent here at St. John's. So I want to introduce a theme that I've been using for this Lenten season, build a Lent for life. Lent is not just about a temporary sacrifices. It's about permanent transformation. Too often we treat Lent like a short-term project, something to be endured rather than embraced. We give up chocolate or social media or the news for 40 days and then go right back to our usual habits once Easter arrives. But Jesus calls us to something deeper. Lent is an opportunity to cultivate real, lasting change. It's a time of renewal that should extend beyond these 40 days into the rest of our lives. Lent should not be a season we went through. It should be a season that gets through us. On Ash Wednesday, we acknowledged our mortality and our need for repentance. On the first Sunday of Lent, we walked with Jesus in the wilderness, learning to trust God in times of testing. Last week, we saw Jesus lament over Jerusalem, longing to gather his people under his wings, yet they refused. Today, Jesus gives us a stark warning. Do not delay your repentance, because you don't know how much time you have left. Some in the crowd bring up a recent atrocity. Pilate had slaughtered Galilean worshipers as they offered sacrifices. Jesus responds with an unsettling question. Do you think these people were worse off than you? Then he adds another tragic event, a tower in Siloam that had collapsed, killing 18 people. Do you think they were worse offenders than the others in Jerusalem? It's important here because Jesus gives the same answer twice. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. To understand the full weight of Jesus' words, we need to recognize how a first century Jew would have heard those words. They typically viewed tragedy and sin together. Many believe that suffering was directly tied to personal wrongdoing. If someone faced hardship, illness, poverty, an untimely death, it was often assumed to be the result of sin, either their own or their ancestors. Think back to the passage in John 9 when the disciples asked Jesus about the man born blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus completely rejects that way of thinking. Tragedy is not a divine scoreboard. The people who died at Pilate's hands or under the tower's collapse were no worse sinners than anybody else. Their deaths were not punishments, but were warnings. Life is fragile. None of us know how much time we have left. The question is not, why did they die? The question is, are you ready today if this were to be your last day? To drive home the point, Jesus tells the parable of the fig tree. It's gone 3 years without bearing any fruit. The owner of the vineyard's ready to cut it down, but the gardener pleads for more time. Let me dig around it, put some manure on it, see if it will bear fruit next year. If not, then we can cut it down. The parable is a vivid image of grace. We are living in a time of mercy, but it's not an endless time. God is patient, but that patience is meant to lead us to repentance. The manure, the messy, difficult experiences of life, may be exactly what God is using to help us grow. But if we resist the gardener's care, if we remain unfruitful, judgment will come. The parable calls us to action. We cannot afford to be like the fig tree, taking up space but producing nothing. Jesus is clear. A fruitless life is a wasted life. William Barclay, one of my favorite commentators, wrote that the most searching question we can be asked is, of what use were you in this world? The tree that only takes and never gives back is destined for destruction. Are we living as people who only consume, or are we producing fruits of righteousness, love, and justice? But there's hope. The gardener doesn't give up easily, and Jesus, like the gardener, intercedes for us. He digs around the hardened soil of our hearts. He nourishes us with grace. But it's up to us to respond. Lent is a season of cultivation. This is our chance to allow God's work in us to bear real fruit. If you want to build a Lent for life, we must take Jesus' word seriously. What does it look like to truly repent, to change, to live differently? I would first suggest that you examine your life honestly. Have you put off repentance? Are there things you've left undone? What are the sins and the habits or the attitudes that need to be uprooted? Take responsibility for your faith. The fig tree could not blame anyone else for its barrenness. Are we expecting growth without investment? Do we assume we'll become more faithful, more loving, more Christ-like without effort? It's important to bear fruit in action. Is your faith leading you to serve others? Are you just receiving, or are you giving back? So here's your homework for this week. Identify one area in your life where maybe you've delayed repentance. What step can you take this week to change? Consider where God is digging around in your roots. What challenges or discomfort might be God's way of cultivating growth in you? Instead of giving up something for Lent, commit to producing something. Acts of service, generosity, prayer. How will you bear fruit in God's kingdoms? When we come to this table, Jesus' parable reminds us that we're living in a time of grace. And here at this table, that grace is poured out for us. The Eucharist is not just a ritual. It's an invitation to transformation. At that table, we encounter the patience of the gardener who's not given up on us. There we receive the nourishment that allows us to bear fruit. There, at that table, we're reminded that while judgment is real, mercy is greater. God does not abandon the tree that's willing to grow. So when you come to this table, be ready to be fed, ready to be changed, ready to bear fruit for God's kingdom. Build a Lent that becomes life. Amen.